Nick with I Thought I Heard a Sound, and I am on the line right now with the lead singer of the crossover Thrash Titans, Enforced. His name is Knox Colby. How are you doing today, Knox?
I'm doing great, Nick. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on and chatting with me. Dude, I love the style of thrash and hardcore that you guys are doing. Quick question. Do you ever feel like you get sort of put into a box in that?
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Talk to me about that. Are you trying to get out of the box, or are you just like, this is what people are going to think of us?
We kind of accepted that everyone's going to compare us to Power Trip from the get-go.
Yeah.
Not saying that they haven't played any role in, you know, us. They're definitely a huge inspiration, but I don't necessarily think that they're a musical influence of ours. So their drive and their work ethic is a huge inspiration, but I don't necessarily think that we draw any influence from them. But of course, you know, the run-of-the-mill passerby who listens to crossover or whatever is just like, oh yeah, it sounds like Barker. You're just like, have you listened to any of it? It doesn't sound anything similar, but okay. So, I mean, there's always those people. So it just kind of is what it is. And, you know, after a year or some change in that, you're just like, okay, I don't care anymore. Like, it's just going
to
happen.
And most people are not going to take the time to sort of draw the line between you guys and high command.
Oh yeah, we all sound so completely different yet uniform. We all kind of have like a different niche and a different style. So I kind of understand the comparisons, but personally, I just get kind of, you know, I get kind of prickly about it.
Yeah, that's understandable. So what is your musical background? Like, have you always played in punk bands?
Yeah, I've been in bands since I was 13. I know everyone else has been in bands since they were about 16, 17 and stuff. So, you know, we've all been in tons and tons and tons of bands. So when we set out to do Enforced, it was just like another band, you know. It wasn't like, here's what we're going to do when we're going to conquer the world. It was just like, no, we're just going to start a band, do some tours and probably, you know, put out an LP and that's going to be it. But we've reached such farther heights than we ever expected. So it's very humbling experience.
Yeah. And now you're on Century Media.
I know, right?
Yeah. How's that experience been?
Well, they're really easy to work with. We kind of have a very serious work ethic. And obviously they do too, as like a major label. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to making decisions, we kind of agree on a lot and we disagree on a lot too, but there's always room for debate and conversation with getting the right sound or the right finesse. We're pretty like-minded and we both want the same thing and we just want the best finished piece of art. So, you know, as many debates or as many arguments or as many conversations as we have, we're down to have them. And so are they, which is great to be very vocal and open and honest with one another. So it's I think it's a very nice partnership.
Yeah. And now you're on a label with some other very cool people, even some recent signees like I Hate God. And I mean,
yeah,
countless others. Yeah.
That alone is just like something that's just so mind boggling. Just like there's now, it used to be like a 17 degrees of separation. Now it's one between, you know, me and Tom G Warrior, or like me and Ice-T. It's a 1 degree of separation. And you're just like, oh my God. Like, well, that happened quickly. I thought it was going to take a lot longer than this, if at all. So it's just like, wow, that's shocking.
Yeah. So do you actually feel closer to any of those guys now that you're on the label? Like, do you actually view them as your peers or?
No, no. Okay. I still think of them as gods. Are you kidding me? No. If Tom Dream Warrior rolled up to me right now in like a four-wheeler, I'd be just as stunned as if I, you know, had never talked to him before. Or like, I mean, granted, I still haven't talked to him, but I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, we share some type of kinship. Like, no, we don't.
Like, right. Yeah. The man's a legend. The man's a legend.
Yeah, he's a fucking legend. What are you doing here, Tom?
Well, I mean, four-wheeling is an activity that's probably safe during a pandemic, right?
I think it's fine. Like, I don't know. Are those street legal?
Probably not. At least, for him. I don't know.
He's got a special permit.
Yeah. So they're not street legal in Chicago. I don't know what the deal, how different the laws are in Virginia.
And you could probably get away with it here. Yeah. I think the police are like, we got bigger fish to fry than Tom G Warrior being on a four-wheeler. Like, just let him go.
Right. Maybe stop him for an autograph.
Yeah.
Where does the title of the new album, Still Grit, come from? Is it just because it sounds cool, or is there a story behind it?
A little bit of both. We had a few ideas for the album name, and I don't think anyone was really vibing with we need full consent for something that, you know, that big, and we couldn't get everyone on board with any ideas, and it really wasn't working out. And then I wrote the lyrics for the song Kill Grid, and then I was like, dude, that's the title track, that's the name of the album. But it was originally going to be Human Kill Grid because I thought that sounded cooler. But, you know, of course, in a 5-person band, it was split right down the middle. It was 2 people hated it. 2 people were super on board with it, and 1 person could care less. So it was just like, well, we're not going anywhere with this. But they liked it. Everyone unanimously liked the Kill Grid part, but everyone was hung up on the human part because Human Kill Grid is a little too long. But I liked it. I thought it flew off the tongue a little bit better. But once we started working on the album cover and everything, and once we saw the finished product with Kill Grid on it, I was like, dude, I'm so glad it wasn't Human Kill Grid. Oh my God. That would have been way too long. It would have taken up the whole bottom. I like that it's short and sweet and just hard, just Kill Grid.
Yeah. So what is it about the song Kill Grid that everybody was like, yeah, we should definitely have this as the album title?
I think it was more, we didn't have any ideas or okay. Like the ideas that we had, no one was agreeing on until I recorded the vocals for it. And I was so pumped on how it turned out that I was like, dude, this is the one. This one stands out from the rest of them so much. Granted, I think they all, you know, hold their own against each other, but Kill Grid is, you know, it's the longest, it's the most epic. It has a great groove to it. And I was like, that's the track. So I have to write, you know, the track lyrics. And I actually took a lot of inspiration from Ice-T and Body Count and Sepultura, like KSID era, Sepultura, to kind of like get that kind of groovy, almost rapping kind of cadence down. And it just kind of sticks out to me. And I was like, this one is just different from all the others. And it's a very singular track. I was like, I think this should be the one. And everyone was like, okay, like that's a hard ass name.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, but then it should be Human. And they're like, no. And that's where the when it contention started. So I'm glad I got outvoted for that. I'm really happy that I was contained.
Right. And Human Kill Grid may be a little bit too on the nose, right? Like,
oh, it's too much. Yeah. It's just after you know, a year and some change to fester about it. Yeah, they're totally right. They're totally right.
The other songs on the album, I know that some of them have some stories behind them. Others, you know, again, maybe are just bangers and are just meant to be bangers. Malignance, I heard that was inspired by World War II, some sort of demoralizing techniques that were.
Oh, yeah, some really grotesque torture tactics.
Was that something that the Japanese were doing to GIs, yeah, making them? Okay. Can you give
us
a story?
In POW camps, they would basically incinerate someone in front of their, you know, allies, and they would basically be forced to quote unquote smell the bodies. Smell the body is a torture technique. Like that's its title, I guess. And it doesn't have the effect that you initially think it would. It's not seeing your comrade burned alive in front of you. It's and that demoralizing you. The demoralization comes from you kind of having to witness that and sit with it afterwards, because they'll treat you just fine afterward, but you have to see that and you got to live with that now. So it has this kind of contemplative, like inner self, like looking inward effect of like, what am I doing here? Is this even worth it? Who are these people? Why am I even fighting? I don't want to be here. We shouldn't be here. I want to leave effect. And that's just a super brutal way of demoralizing somebody. And it's just very strange. I know they did it to the Australians. I know they did it to the US. But yeah, it was inspired by that. I wouldn't say that's totally necessarily what it's about, but it kind of all ties in together, I think, pretty well.
Right, right. Just the idea of having to see someone else suffer and then...
And it's your fault. Yeah.
Okay. Well, like, feeling like you, it's your fault.
Well, yeah, really, it's like this person wouldn't have been burned alive if you weren't here with, you know, doing the things that you're doing. So you're the cause of this person burning alive in front of your face. So don't blame me. You caused this person suffering, not me. So it's a very strange kind of manipulation of the brain to put all the focus and blame on you, the sufferer, the prisoner, and not the prison warden, ostensibly, I guess. So yeah, I think in that regard, it's a very interesting song.
Yeah, that's a pretty sophisticated torture technique. Also,
yeah,
like the song suggests, very malignant.
It's malignant. Yeah. And I the word malignance, I thought was a word. It's not a word. I thought until I looked it up and I was like, wow, I guess I made a word. It fits. It worked. But it's just not a word.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think there is like a long tradition of metal bands inventing words.
Making words, yeah.
Yeah. just
look
sound
at
brutal.
The entire Carcass discography. They just make up words. I mean, it's awesome. Like, they're like, who's at the forefront of creating language? Like, memes and metal bands, like, that's about it. No one else is working that hard on language.
We do need a metal dictionary sort of attached to the metal encyclopedia, I feel like.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the three M's. It's memes, metal, and Merriam-Webster. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
I do think that those are the primary drivers of culture and language presently. Yeah. I think you're onto something. What about Hemorrhage? Is there a story behind that song at all? Is there sort of a similar gruesome background?
No. In terms of music, that's one of the ones we've been working on the longest. I think we've been working on that since 2019. So we had a whole EP like demoed, and we were probably just going to put something out with that. But then we kind of made the executive decision to scrap it all because I don't think any of it was up to snuff. I haven't listened to that in forever. It's probably still sucked. But the only song that to survive that was Hemorrhage, because like that's the best one. So it's like if out of five songs, only one really slaps, like you should probably just scrap the entire project. So we did, and kept Hemorrhage and kept writing. And that's what basically Killgrid is. But in terms of lyrics, those were attributed to one of the songs off that EP, but I liked them enough that I was like, okay, I can just kind of pull the Lego from this song and put it on Hemorrhage and just reformat it, and it'll work. But it's basically about, you know, you're right and being stubborn. And it's kind of like this, the disconnect of, I don't want to be a part of this world that is trending down a very dark path. But does that makes me an enemy of society, but I'm not. Like, I have nothing but the best intentions, and I want everyone to live happily and peacefully. But I'm somehow feel that I'm an enemy of all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm being labeled. And just kind of, you know, the lyrics of like, this world runs on hate and fear is buying. What if I can't relate? Is my life a lie then? Is something that I've kind of thought about a lot. I'm just like, dude, do I even want to be here? Do I even want to be a part of the society that like is just so pent up on, you know, fighting online, you know, just demoralizing people all the time and just causing fights left and right. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. It sucks. It just hurts to be around for a long period of time. So I was like, dude, I'm just trying to be a nice person. Like, does anyone care about that anymore? I don't think so. It's just that inner struggle with that mindset, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty relatable sentiment right now. I mean, if it weren't, you know, people wouldn't share that Farnsworth meme where he's like, oh, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's
but I also feel like relatable. I'm old man yells at cloud. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Get me off this goddamn rock.
Something that I want to know, though, is not so much what the pandemic has prevented you from doing, but what has the pandemic allowed you to do that you weren't able to do before? Or what has it allowed you the space to accomplish that you maybe, you know, didn't think you were going to have the time for before?
That's a good question. Most people just go for the straight pandemic question. How has it affected you? But that's a good one. Let's see. I think because like Kilgore was initially going to come out in the late summer, early fall, and then they got pushed back because all the tours we were going to do got canceled and everything. So it just kind of gave us a lot more time. And so, you know, even though the album was already done, but that allowed Bob Quirk, our engineer, to kind of sit with them a little bit longer and really tweak them perfectly. And then it gave Arthur Rizik, who mixed and mastered it, a lot more time to do it to his full ability, instead of, you know, rush and get it out. And then when it came to, you know, artwork and inserts and layout, all that, it kind of gave us a lot more time to think about, is this the right decision? Or, you know, so on and so forth. We were able to ask ourselves all the questions instead of just push, go. And I would say the main thing that Enforced kind of works off of is momentum and drive and constantly pushing, constantly playing, constantly touring, constantly writing. So having the pandemic kind of take away all your momentum, it kind of puts you back at square one and makes you kind of reset that momentum. And so you have to start all over again in terms of resetting your pace, pretty much. So we were able to really focus every single minute attention to the album. And I think that it worked. I think it worked flawlessly, because we're all insanely happy and pleased with it. And Century is too. And the few people, you know, all the singles have been doing really well. So it's just like, yeah, like having that attention to detail really helped. And I think we're probably going to take that lesson going forward.
Yeah, no, there's just a depth of sound on this on your new album. And I was like, just switching back between that and your like the Retaliation demo and, you know, your 2017 demo, like, wow. You know, these both sound great, but like there's so much more range on the new stuff.
I totally agree.
It's almost like somebody like turned on a light switch, you know, somewhere and back, and now you can just like see all the corners of the room that you didn't know were there before.
Yeah, I think that's just us, you know, getting more comfortable with and working around ourselves and working together. And we had two lineup changes or personnel changes, so having, you know, a stable lineup that we can all sit and work together and work with one another for the entire process really, really helped in kind of, you know, going back and forth with everything. So, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And like you said, you just were able to just apply so much more detail to the album, like more so than you've been able to for past releases. Yeah. It's cool that you feel like you've been able to sort of seize this opportunity and really step into the role that it's offered to you. That's
yeah. And cool. honestly with, it sounds like I'm tooting my horn. It's like, oh, I'm doing all these interviews, but like, I've learned a lot about myself from doing all these interviews, because a lot of people, especially, you know, talking about with some people with lyrics and stuff like that, it's like, I've never had to answer for myself ever. So having to kind of justify my own, you know, thought process has made me learn a lot about myself. And I'm just like, wow, like this is really taking on its own life, but it's very much, you know, a part of me. So it just makes me feel so much more comfortable in my own skin to even talk to, you know, all these people around the globe that like what I said. So it's just very inspiring just to get on the phone and talk to someone in like you in Chicago or like someone in Estonia or something that like really relate to it and like really find a lot of inspiration behind it. It's just truly humbling and truly fascinating.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to talk with me about your lyrics.
Oh, that's God, awesome. I'll gab forever. Oh my God. You can't shut me up.
Well, I think we should probably call it there. We've been talking for a minute, and this has been a really fun interview. Thanks for your time today, Knox. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mick. No, I appreciate it just as much as you do. Yeah, this is great.
Cool. Well, this has been Mick for I Thought I Heard a Sound, talking with Knox Colby. Thanks again, Knox.